I'm Jeff Booth, and this is Sex Science Sunday here on The Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education. One of the things that we talk about quite frequently on this segment is bad sex science, and there is a lot of bad sex science, and there's a lot of misreported sex science. And in the social science, you have to look at a lot of it with some skepticism. There was a study done by psychologist Nicholas Gauguin, and his findings on human sexuality are troublesome, and I apologize if I'm mispronouncing his name. It's G-U-E-G-U-E-N, so I have no idea, really. But he published a paper 4 years ago, and basically what he found is that men were more helpful to women wearing high heels compared to mid-heels or flats. Now, the only way that that makes sense to me is that, yeah, it's hard to do a lot of things in high heels, not really for wearing all the time, and that, yeah, if you see a woman struggling trying to do something that's hard to do in high heels, you would be more inclined to help her. Now, I wasn't the only one who thought that was kind of a weird, questionable study. So did James Heathers and Nick Brown. 4 years ago, they started digging into it. Now, Nicholas is a French psychologist, and he wrote in the study, "As a man, I can see that I prefer to see my wife when she wears high heels, and many men in France have the same evaluation." Well, there is something to that. Heels elongate your legs and are very flattering, which is why women wear them, but they are not really practical for the real world. So when these two scientists, Brown and Heathers, began poking around, they learned all sorts of stuff about the flawed methodology of this study. For example, they had way too few people in terms of the number of participants, nothing meaningful. And the grad students he was using to help him didn't know anything about statistics, so they didn't understand the errors that they were making. And when Brown and Heathers looked at the actual statistics, they found errors in the statistical tests, and those results didn't match up with the data reported in the paper. The university has retracted the study, and there have also been calls to retract another of his studies in which he reported that men prefer to pick up female hitchhikers who are wearing red compared to other colors. Now, studies like this you should always be skeptical about, because if you do not understand how to properly do the study, you're going to get erroneous results, and it's difficult to do studies like this. The reason being, you come out with this concept, well, men prefer to pick up hitchhikers wearing a specific color. Well, of course, you're going to kind of think, gee, well, it's going to be red, right? Of course. So you kind of think what the result should be ahead of time, and then you look for stuff that's going to prove the result that you want to get, and you ignore the methodological errors that get you there. But, of course, by the time the paper gets published, it gets tons of publicity, and hardly anybody hears about the retraction. I never said science was perfect. Is eating more nuts to improve your sex life nuts? There's actually a new study that says maybe, and there was another study that says maybe. The latest study started with a group of 83 healthy men between the ages of 18 to 35. For 14 weeks, half of the group ate a typical Western-style diet without nuts, while the other group ate the same diet, supplemented daily with a 60-gram mixture of walnuts, hazelnuts, and almonds. So wait, are they saying that Snickers bar isn't going to help? I'm not really a big fan of studies that look just at self-filled-out questionnaires, which is what this one did. But at the beginning and end of the study, they filled out a questionnaire designed to assess their sexual function, including their strength of libido and quality of orgasm. These things are very, very difficult to self-analyze. You can't give them huge amounts of weight. Their peripheral blood levels of nitric oxide and E-selectin were also measured. It is believed that those two chemicals are reliable markers of erectile endothelial function. In other words, they're looking at the quality of blood flow that creates your erection. What's the fatal flaw in a study like this? Okay, raise your hands. Yeah, you guessed it. It has no way to be a double-blind study. The people with the enhanced nut diet know that they have an enhanced nut diet. That alone is enough to skew the results. So what do we get from this? Well, that the men who knew they were eating nuts felt like they were getting a sexual performance boost. So what about the only hard science, the blood tests and the levels in the blood of E-selectin and nitric oxide? Did those change? No. So, but even if they did, that is no measurement of libido. Libido has to do with sexual desire, not sexual function. And trust me, you can have a lot of desire, but very little sexual function, which can be very frustrating. So, who funded this study? Well, it was the International Nut and Dried Fruit Council, something I also suggest you look at to make sure that the money isn't coming from a suspicious source. Industry funding doesn't always mean that a study is skewed, but on the other hand, it's certainly a clue that it might be. So what does this study tell us? Well, basically, the placebo effect is very powerful in human beings. I took a quick look at some of the other studies that supposedly show that nuts are good for your sex life. There might be something there. It's really hard to tell. We don't have anything definitive yet, because it can be difficult to tease out exactly, if you have an effect, what's causing that effect. To just say nuts is not particularly helpful. What in the nuts is causing the effect is what we really want to know. Couldn't find a study that answered that question. While we're talking about bad science and sex, you know the story about how women's menstrual cycles sync up when they spend a lot of time together. That's interesting. It's not true, but it's interesting. Our go-to expert on sexual reproductive information is Dr. Jen Gunter, and she wrote a few months ago in the New York Times, "There is no science to support the claim that menstrual cycles of women who live together or who otherwise spend a lot of time together with each other sync up." There's nothing. There is no known mechanism for that to happen, and there's no evidence that it does happen. It's just a story. And of course, the probability of menstrual cycles appearing to sync up because they overlap a little bit is actually statistically fairly high. Okay, maybe that's enough bad science for a little while. Let's look at some interesting science. How about a vaccine against chlamydia? Ah, that would be pretty awesome. And yes, it looks like there actually might be one. It was just published in the medical research journal Lancet, and it passed its first test in an early human trial. So already human trials, that's pretty awesome. So it had a controlled study. It was done in Britain and Denmark involving 35 women, and the vaccine produced the immunizing effect that scientists had predicted. And there didn't seem to be any major side effects. They also found protective antibodies against chlamydia in the genital tracts. That is important because that can prevent the chlamydia bacteria from penetrating the cells of the body. So this looks very promising. You know, it's believed that 131 million human beings worldwide, not that they have chlamydia, that's how many new infections there are every year. Now, HPV is still the most common sexually transmitted infection, and it shouldn't be that case, because we do have a vaccine for it. People have to have the vaccines. We can only wipe these things out if people get vaccinated. Unfortunately, we're living in the time of anti-vaxxers, where diseases we thought we'd completely wiped out are coming back. Chlamydia is not generally life-threatening, but it does have some rather unpleasant effects, such as pain or burning during urination, abnormal odorous vaginal discharge, and clear or cloudy discharge from the penis in men, burning and itching. These are all things you really don't want to have. So even though it's curable, you can get it again, so it'd be pretty nice if we could wipe it out. And here's a study that's really interesting, especially for women who have suffered from bacterial vaginosis, or as is better known, BV. Now, BV is not an STI. It's caused by a change in the balance in the vaginal microbiome. It's more annoying than anything else. It can cause a strong, fishy smell, and you get excess vaginal discharge, although it can make you more susceptible to urinary tract infections and STIs. It's treatable, but is there a way to take care of it for good? Maybe, according to researchers at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. They just published their findings in the Frontiers in Cellular and Infection Microbiology. You can treat it with antibiotics, but their better solution is a vaginal fluid transplant. Of course, you would need a donor of vaginal fluid, but this affects some 21 million Americans. That's more than 29% between the ages of 14 and 49. So this solution could help a lot of women.